Along with Charlie, I too want to welcome everyone here, especially our visitors. We do have several visitors this morning, and we're so thankful you came our way. And we hope and pray you'll come back, because you're always an honored guest here at Prairie Village Church of Christ. Just one thought about this evening at 5 o'clock, we'll be meeting again, and the topic of our sermon this evening is, Am I My Brother's Keeper? We're currently studying in Genesis, and this is a good sermon that goes right along with that. Am I my brother's keeper? The question is, when is baptism for the remission of sins? When is baptism for the remission of sins? It's a very good question. So let's let the Word of God answer that all-important question. I do ask you to turn your Bibles and follow along with me. As always, I do not want you to take my word, nor any man's word, only the Word of God. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew, the 26th chapter. We'll be going to several passages this morning. Now, the Greek word translated for or unto is eis, E-I-S. The Greek word translated for or unto is eis. It never means because of, but always points to a result. For example, Jesus said in Matthew 26 and verse 28, For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of sins. Now I want you to turn your Bibles to the second chapter of Acts, and we'll look at verse 38. The Apostle Peter, when preaching the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost, after being asked by the multitude, men and brethren, what shall we do? This is how he answered in Acts 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, recently I heard a discussion pertaining to baptism, and especially to Acts 2 and verse 38, in which the following statements were made. First, and I quote, The Church of Christ is not the only group that baptizes for the remission of sins. My wife was baptized into the Baptist Church for the remission of sins. The second statement that I heard was this. And I quote, If she was baptized for the remission of sins, she is just as much a Christian as anybody. End of quote. Well, a sincere study of the Scriptures is in order now when Almighty God will respect baptism as being, in fact, for the remission of sins. First, we will establish the fact that scriptural baptism is for the remission of sins. To prove this point, let's hear some of the New Testament writers on this subject. I realize, and I know you realize too, that there are those who will not agree with the apostles Peter, Paul, or even with Jesus himself on this subject. However, I believe these men were inspired to speak and write as directed by God himself. I also believe that the Apostle Peter had the privilege of being the first to announce the terms of admission into the kingdom of heaven on the day of Pentecost. And I also believe that the other apostles were given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And I repeat again what Peter said to that multitude on the day of Pentecost in that first gospel sermon when he said, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And I also take my stand with them and encourage everyone to agree with their gospel in Galatians chapter 1. I want you to look with me, if you will, what Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 1. In verse 6 through 9. Paul wrote to the Galatians these words in verse 6. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Paul was so adamant about this that he repeated himself. He says, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. The Apostle Peter commanded a great crowd of people on the first Pentecost after Christ's resurrection to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Again, Acts 2:38. If you would turn your Bibles now to 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Here we see, in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, we see where Peter commanded people to be baptized and explains that baptism doth now save us, he said. Baptism doth now save us. So, brethren and friends, obedience to the commands of God will save us. Turn to Acts 22, if you would. Acts chapter 22. We see in Acts 22 and verse 16 where the Apostle Paul, in relating his conversion, said he was told by Ananias, the preacher, to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Arise and be baptized and wash away our sin, wash away thy sins. Turn to Romans chapter 6, if you would, please. Romans 6. In Romans chapter 6, again, Paul is speaking here, and he says in verse 3, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism and into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. In this reference, Paul compares the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ with the death to sin, a burial in water, and resurrection to a new life of a person in baptism. Now, he also drives this point home by saying in verse 5, if we have been baptized together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. When were Paul's sins washed away, brethren? When were his sins washed away? When the alien sinner starts to walk a new life, and that's after baptism. Come with me to a familiar passage, if you would, in Mark 16. Mark 16 and verse 16 is very important. We look at this together. Jesus himself is speaking here. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus himself said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Seems easy enough to understand, doesn't it? Sure does. And I've said this so many times. I do believe that any second grader can understand that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. To say that we can be saved by obeying only the first part of his statement, which is to believe, is to say that he didn't mean the last part of his statement, which was to be baptized. Because I believe the first part, I want to obey the second part. And we're pleading today for people to believe all, everything that Jesus says. So I ask you, my dear friends, who believes all that Jesus said? They that believe only the first part of the statement in Mark 16:16, or they that believe the second part as well as the first? If 2 and 2 equals 4 and we encounter no difficulty accepting it as such, we should encounter no difficulty in accepting the fact that believing and being baptized equals salvation. For the person that will accept the scriptures as they are written, this should suffice as evidence that baptism is for the remission of sins. We now advance to the answer to the question, when is baptism for the remission of sins? When is it? Well, the word when in our question denotes time and refers to what point, what instant of time God forgives us of our sins and we start a new life. Already shown, the Lord's church is not the only body of people that allegedly baptized for the remission of sins. Some of them are the Catholics and the Mormons and the Baptists, the Christian church, and the Holiness, the Methodists, and so on. For me to say that their labors are in vain should come as no great shock to the sincere person that will study and accept the inspired word in its simplicity. It should be a simple thing for all to understand that it is possible to worship God in vain. How do I know that? Because our Lord Jesus said it is possible to worship Him in vain. Look at Matthew 15 and verse 9. Remember, this is our Lord Jesus speaking. He says in Matthew 15 and verse 9, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for the doctrines the commandments of men." So you see that it is possible to be baptized in vain. But listen, it is not possible to be taught wrong and be baptized right. Can't happen, won't happen, period. Let's look quickly at Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And verse 4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now John the Baptist baptized for or unto the remission of sins, as in Mark chapter 1 and verse 4, and again in Luke chapter 3 and verse 3. I want you to go with me to Acts, the 18th chapter now, and see how Luke explains this. Luke explains in Acts 18, verse 24, through chapter 19 and verse 5, that knowledge only of John's baptism isn't enough, but requires more instructions in the more perfect way. The good historian that Luke was, he immediately gives us an account to prove that John's baptism, which was just being baptized for the remission of sins without sufficient knowledge of the law of Christ, is in vain. I want to take the time to read this account together. We're going to start with Acts 18, beginning with verse 24. "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. On Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. On this occasion, about 12 men had been baptized with the baptism of John. After the Apostle Paul taught them the difference between John and Christ, they were baptized again in the name of, by the authority of, and under the new law of Jesus Christ, showing that once and for all, the possibility of being baptized wrong, and therefore the need of being baptized right. As God showed his refusal of those men's baptism through his servant Paul, you and I can rest assured that he does not accept the baptism of the many religious bodies which allegedly baptize for the remission of sins, but which do not accept and teach all or everything that Jesus says. These men heard and obeyed the wrong doctrine. They were not baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and were therefore subject to the wrong authority. Look at Colossians 3:17. It's a familiar passage to all of us. Colossians 3 and verse 17. You remember what Paul told the Colossians? Colossians 3 and verse 17. He said, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." So, brethren and friends, to do things under the authority of Christ is to do them in his name. Being subject to the wrong authority, they had obeyed the wrong doctrine and thereby became members of the wrong body of people. I hope you see that. Now, these sincere men admitted their ignorance of the authority and doctrine of Christ and were happy recipients of his correction. Jeremiah talks about this. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 10 just for a second, if you would. Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah says in chapter 10 and verse 23, he says, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing." He said it's not. He knows it is not in man in himself to walk in his own steps. Man can't do it. Alone. The person that has been baptized, now listen to me, I'm saying this is just as nice as I can, but the person that has been baptized into the Baptist church, the Christian church, or any church other than the Lord's church, the church of Christ, should be taught more perfectly the laws of Christ that he can understand his will and be moved to obey it. Such baptisms are in vain, brethren. They are in vain because of the following reasons. When we admit that we have been baptized into any group or church other than the Lord's body, the Church of Christ, we at that same time admit that we did not know at the time of our baptism that the Heavenly Father's book teaches only one doctrine and that there is only one church to be added to. Please hear me now. Obedience to the wrong doctrine will not put you into the right church. When a person, having received a denominational baptism, allegedly for the remission of sins, refuses to be baptized correctly, it is sufficient evidence that the person still does not understand the one doctrine and the one church. And let me tell you this, to accept such a person, that's a person who has been baptized into a denomination, To accept such a person into the Lord's church is to sanction and accept the fruits of false teachers and to accept something that God refused. I hope you understand. In Acts 2 and verse 41, I want us to look at that. Acts 2 and verse 41. In Acts 2 and verse 41, we read that they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the Lord added them to the church. What happened? They were baptized. They believed what they were taught. They were baptized, and the Lord added them to the church. Now look at verse 47 of Acts 2. And the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. Why do I say the church? Because there was only one church at that time. There was only one church. The Lord's church. The one that Jesus built. The one that he died for. That's why I say the church. Did you know that the Baptist church was started by a mere man named John Smith in Holland? In 1607? Did you know that the Methodist Church was started by a mere mortal man named John Wesley in England in 1739? Here's something I bet you didn't know. The Christian Church was started in America in 1908. It is barely 100 years old. You might not know that, as big as it's grown. But it's a fact. It was first recognized in 1908. So it's been here just a little over 100 years. Now I want to turn to a couple of familiar passages with me, if you will. Ephesians chapter 1. Now these passages tell us that the Lord's church is his body. That shouldn't be hard to understand. The Lord's church is his body. He started it. John Wesley didn't start it. John Smith didn't start it. It's his body. He started. He established his church. Look at Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. He says, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now please, come with me to Colossians chapter 1. And verse 18, if you would. Paul says, and he is the head of the body. The church. How easy is that to understand? He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. So Jesus is the head of the body, the church, his church, the one he died for, one he built, he shed his blood for. Only one church. He didn't shed one drop of blood for any denominations it's ever been. The church of Christ. Now let's go back to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, if you would. Now these passages we're going to read state that there is only one body and one baptism, beginning in verse 4 of Ephesians 4. Paul again wrote, there is one body, the church, and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. You remember what Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? I wish you'd look with me at that, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul again, in verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. all of us are baptized into one body. Again, that's the Lord's church. The church that He built. The church that He died for. The church that He spilt His blood for. One church, one body. Now, if we fully understand Ephesians 5 and verse 17, where Paul says, "Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is," if we understand this and gladly receive the gospel to obey it, it will be the pleasure of God to add us to His Son's body, the church. Again, while you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 18 with me. Paul said, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him." One last passage. Come with me to Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. Paul said, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you." So, brethren and friends, when one fully understands and obeys from the heart the form of doctrine given by Christ and preached by the apostles, that person's baptism is according to the Scriptures and is therefore acceptable with God and does in fact secure the remission of sins. If obedience is from the heart, and if the heart includes the mind, the will, and the intellect, then it is impossible for one to be taught wrong and then to be baptized right. Can't happen. So when all is said and done, a person who is scripturally baptized is a correctly taught, penitent believer who has confessed his faith in Jesus as the Son of God, who came unto the water, went down into the water, came up out of the water, wherein he was buried with Christ, and from which he was raised to walk in the newness of life. Through this process, he entered into Christ, into his body, or the church, to which he was added upon his obedience to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And I say this, if there should be anyone here this morning who was baptized into a denomination, please understand that you were only baptized so you could become a member of that denomination, and you have not, I repeat, you have not been baptized into Christ. You're not a member of the Lord's church, so don't let your ego or your pride or whatever send you to hell. You're still living in sin. Please give this serious, serious thought. So why take a chance? If you're going to err, please err on the side of the Lord. I ask you to come forward and let us baptize you into Christ, as Paul said in Galatians 3:17 when he says, "For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." You must be in Christ to be saved. And there's only one way you can get into Christ, and that is to be baptized into Christ. Now we have the promise of the Lord Himself that you then, if you're baptized, will be automatically, if you come out of this watery grave right here, when you baptize here, the Lord Himself automatically adds you to His church. Remember what He said in Acts 2:47, "And the Lord added daily unto the church such as should be saved." So I beg you and I plead with you to be like the willing Ephesians. They didn't question it. When they were told they were wrong, they were baptized into Christ. So I beg you to be like those willing Ephesians. Just take the Bible and its word and be baptized. if you wish to become a Christian. You can do that right now at 25 minutes after 11 on the 24th day of September 2017. You can be baptized into Christ and become a member of the Lord's church, the only church you read about in the New Testament. I pray that you'll take this lesson and the way that it's been taught. I pray that you'll take it and know that we love you and we want you to go to heaven when this old life is over. You cannot go to heaven in a denomination. You cannot go to heaven in a denominational baptism, by denominational baptism. I beg you to come forward when we sing the invitation song. Repent to God in your heart. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God, because He is. And then we'll baptize you into the name of the Lord Jesus and into His church. Maybe there's some here that have done this, but you've fallen away. This is also a good time to take care of that. After you've repented to the Lord and prayed to Him to forgive you, come forward and we'll pray with you and pray for you. Remember, you heard me say this so many times and I keep repeating. But if you miss heaven, you missed it all. If you miss heaven, you have missed everything. Please don't wait. Please don't leave this building in an unsaved condition. Can we help you? If so, please come forward as we stand and as we sing. Brother Bill.